So what's the difference in the relationship you have with Ford now that they're divesting themselves of Mazda's shares?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, as of a couple of weeks ago, Ford sold off more of its stock, and they're now, I think, Mazda's fourth largest shareholder. You know, the two companies still have a strategic relationship. It's, you know, a 30-year relationship, and they still meet regularly and discuss, you know, opportunities to work together on projects. You know, we have two joint manufacturing facilities, one in Flat Rock, one in Thailand. And next year, the companies will introduce a compact pickup truck not in North America, but around the world. Mazda will call that vehicle the BT50, which is a pickup truck built for Asia, Australia, South America, and Middle East, that was jointly developed with Ford. So they'll continue to meet. Both companies have said they're committed to maintaining the strategic relationship, and will, you know, look for opportunities to cooperate where they can.
I guess it makes sense for Ford because they get all the benefits of this long-standing relationship, and there doesn't sound from your comments like there's any change to that. So they might as well take some of the money off the table that they could get for selling Mazda, but still have a conduit to be able to access components and shared platforms, those sorts of things.
Well, I can't speak to Ford's motivations for this. You'll have to ask them. But it is, I would say, one of the longest joint relationships in the automotive industry over 30 years. And I would say maybe one of the most fruitful for the two companies. And I think that's recognized and appreciated. And moving forward, they'll continue to look for opportunities to work together.
Now, you mentioned the pickup truck that's being developed with Ford for Asia and Australia. Mm-hmm. And you're getting out of the pickup truck business. Why, if there's a new product available, are you not taking it?
I suppose, Zach, the succinct answer to that is the pickup truck jointly developed by Ford and Mazda is built in Thailand. And to import that to North America would be subject to import duties that make it not feasible to offer. It's sometimes known as the chicken tax. So 2010 was our last model for pickup truck. And, you know, pickup truck was actually one of the vehicles, I would say the one nameplate that we've sold since we came to Canada in 1968. So, you know, the market changes and we, you know, adapt.
Because I know Ford is going to come with a new replacement for Ranger, whether they're going to call it Ranger or F-100 or whatever the name is going to be. Why can't you just take that and rebadge it as a Mazda again?
Well, you know, we have to maintain a very targeted approach to, you know, developing vehicles geared to our target customer. And, you know, that's passenger cars, sport utility vehicles that are, you know, fun to drive, stylish. And some would say that, you know,
it kind of stuck out, didn't it?
Doesn't necessarily fit into that.
Yeah, it kind of didn't look like the rest of the family.
And you know what? When I joined Mazda in the early 1990s, we were selling 10,000 pickup trucks a year. We'll sell a few thousand this year. Our customer base has changed. Our market proposition has changed and evolved. And I think we have a very defined vision of what that is. And we'll do very well without having a pickup truck in our lineup. I know we had a lot of customers over the years that bought our pickup trucks and, you know, like that kind of a vehicle. We appreciate their business and hopefully we'll have something else for them in the future, albeit not a pickup truck.
Another vehicle that you share almost identically is the Ford Escape with your Mazda Tribute. Mm-hmm. So next year there's going to be a new Escape. Are you going the same route? Are you going to have a similar styled and designed product? Or are you going all on your own with this one?
Well, I guess it's very difficult me to answer. You know, tell me all your future product plans.
Come on, you can tell me all your future product plans.
Just you and me and no one else, right, listening. And I know that's not the case. All I can say is we have a 2011 Tribute. It's still a part of our lineup. It's still actually very popular sport utility for us. But I can't say anything beyond that.
Okay. Now let's talk about your most successful car in Canada, which is the Mazda 3. Mm-hmm. By the way, I chose it as my top pick in the compact class for my book, Motormouth. This vehicle, some parts of the year, was the best-selling car in Canada. Are you going to get that title this year as the best-selling car in Canada?
No, Mazda 3 will not be the best-selling car in Canada in 2010. It'll be second best passenger car. And you know what? There's interesting, anomalies in sales on when you look at it on a month-by-month basis. And yes, in January and February, Mazda 3 sold more than Honda Civic, and some months it's very close. But, Honda Civic has been the institutional number one seller, I don't know for how many years
now. I think it's like 12 years now.
Or maybe longer.
More, yeah.
But the thing is, we don't design a car at our head office to say, let's make sure we're the best-selling car in Canada. And we don't go into our marketing plans and build our business plans to say, let's make this the best-selling car in Canada. No doubt Mazda 3 has been very well received in Canada. It represents, half of our total sales in the country, maybe a bit more. I think what we try and do is stay very focused on developing cars, designing cars for our target customer, people who enjoy driving, who want a stylish vehicle, who want good value and quality and craftsmanship. And Mazda 3 embodies that. And Canadian consumers recognize that. And it's important for us to maintain that. Now, if we are number one or number two, that's great. But that's not sort of where you start from.
Okay, I guess we want to move on to what is the number two bestseller in your lineup, and that is the brand new, or the Mazda 5, and you've got a new one coming out. We'll talk about the vehicle historically. It's only been out for less than half a dozen years, and it's moved right up to the second bestseller. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think one of the things about the Mazda 5, a compact vehicle in size, three rows of seats, can seat up to six people, lots of flexibility, fuel-efficient four-cylinder engine. These are some, I would say, product attributes that resonate with consumers. I live downtown, I have little kids, may not have a lot of money to spend on a big vehicle, don't need a big vehicle, but I need something that, is flexible and meets a lot of my needs. And that's what Mazda 5 really represents. And, In Canada, small cars sell well, and we've benefited from that with the Mazda 5.
And it's the only four-cylinder sort of six-passenger vehicle. I guess there are others now coming into the market, but it really kind of stood out on its own when it first came out as a minivan alternative with a four-cylinder engine.
You're right. I mean, until we introduced the car in 2006, people had a concept that a minivan was a larger vehicle with all kinds of, space for hockey teams and stuff like this. And the Mazda 5 was unique because it was based on, a small Mazda 3, vehicle architecture, a small footprint, a kind of vehicle that's very popular in countries like Japan and throughout Europe where, roads are narrow, city streets are busy, and parking spaces are not real huge, and you may only have one. And so you need a lot of utility wrapped up in a small fuel-efficient package. And Mazda 5, I think, really blazed that trail in the Canadian market.
Okay, we're going to speak more about the Mazda 5, the new 2012, in just a few minutes.